countries throughout the world, Lord. Let us be a standard of righteousness. And Lord, bless your church in this nation and other churches, Lord, that we would shine brightly for you and stand for truth and for justice. Lord, work through us here, we pray. And therefore, we lift up our Mount Joy community and further out, Lord, and we are asking, Lord, draw in those who are needy, those who need you, Lord Jesus. Work through us. Let us overflow with your love, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Be with us in the rest of this service. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, worship team, for that beautiful time of worship and leading us into the presence of the Lord. So we are continuing on a series about marriage, family, relationships, and singleness, and raising children. Today we're talking about both relationships in the body of Christ with each other, but also in a parallel way, how we can apply those principles in our marriage and friendships and relationships. So there were three men talking in a discipleship group. Two of them were talking about the disagreements they'd had with their wives. One man said, "My wife seems like she has to be right about everything, and I feel like she doesn't respect me as the head of the home." The second said, "Oh yeah, I forgot. Children are dismissed for children's church, kindergarten through 4 years old through kindergarten." Okay, there they go. Sorry about that. Yeah. I'm going to start over with this little story. So these three men were in a discipleship group. Two of them were talking about the disagreements they'd had with their wives. One man said, "My wife has to be right about everything. I feel like she doesn't respect me as the head of the home." And the second guy said, "My wife leaves me with a list of chores every day. And she says that if I don't do them all, no dinner." The third man remained oddly quiet. And after a while, one of the first two turned to the third guy and says, So what about you? Does your wife respect you as the head of your house, of your home?" And the third fellow said, "Well, yes, she does. Just the other night, my wife came to me on her hands and knees." The other two guys were amazed. "And what happened then?" they asked. "She said, 'Get out of from underneath the bed and fight like a man.'" Okay, whatever that is. Today we're talking about transformation in our relationships. Transformation comes when there's friction, when we rub together and it causes some of our worst traits to come out. But the good news is, if we're walking with Jesus and finding him, God works through that process to make us better, to help us grow, to be transformed, to be more and more like him. He's given us the gift of marriage so that we can learn this friction and this process. He's given us the gift of friendships, and he's given us the gift of church, where we often experience conflict and we have to work it out. The problem is, a lot of us would rather hide underneath the bed than deal with conflict. Now, you guys, most of you here are Lancaster County people, right? Raise your hand if you're born and raised in Lancaster County. Okay, there's a few of us who are from a different place, but I know from living here and also being married to a Lancaster County native, Lancaster County people, especially Mennonites, would rather avoid conflict. Or if you are going to have conflict, you'd rather like hint at it in a roundabout way instead of directly confronting or bringing up something difficult. Am I hitting it right? Is this true? We need to learn to be more forthright and to enter into conflict and experience the transformation that God has for us. So if you'd like to turn with me to our passage today, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very long. We're just going to go verse by verse through this passage. There's a pew Bible in front of you, and it's on page 966. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 17, which is on page 966 in the pew Bibles. I'll give you a minute to get there. It's starting with verse 1, chapter 3 of Colossians. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. We're going to look at this section all the way through verse 17. But our first point is that every conflict is an opportunity for transformation, to grow closer together or further apart. Conflict is a gift, and it's an opportunity for growth in our relationships if we learn to handle conflict with love and grace. So the question is, how do we handle conflict? How do we work through conflict in our lives in a healthy way, in the body of Christ, in our marriages, and in our relationships? Excuse me. Looking at verse 1, first of all, we need to be transformed with Jesus, transformed by him, by being in his presence. It says here that we have been raised up with Christ. So therefore, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Let's just think about this for a moment. We've been raised up with him. And the problem is, so many of us are carrying so much baggage from our past that comes in and interferes with our relationships. And we need to claim this promise that we've been raised up from the grave. We are raised up with Christ. We have new life in him. And the old has passed away. The sins in our life, it says here, they are hidden with Christ. If we set our minds and our hearts on the things that are above, and if we have fellowship with him, he is setting us free from the things of the past. And our sins are hidden in him. Verse 3 says, you died to sin. And as followers of Jesus, we want to be free from sin and not to sin freely. Not to see these things reign over us and continue to have strongholds in our lives that interfere with our relationships and interfere with walking with Jesus. We need to claim this promise that our old lives are hidden in Christ. Now, first when I read this, I'm like, what on earth does this mean? My life is hidden in Christ. I think the best interpretation is that our lives, our former, our old lives are hidden in him. That we're claiming that scripture that says, God has taken my sins and he has thrown them into the depths of the sea and he will remember them no more. My old life, my life is hidden in Christ. And it's not Christ, it's not me living, but it's Christ living in me. And he's given me new life and he gives us a future and a hope that yes, we can be set free from those things that bog us down. That we can learn to walk in new patterns, to have a new mindset, to find the ways of Jesus. Or we could say again, the song that we sang this morning, I choose the Jesus way. It means allowing Jesus to reshape us, to mold us, to make us new. This happens when we're raised with Jesus. We commit then to a life of holiness. Going on in verse 5, put to death then whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now rid yourselves of all such things as these. And it goes on. When we're following Jesus, we commit to a life of holiness. This means we commit ourselves to sexual purity, having our minds be pure, learning to control our thought lives, getting rid of evil desires and greed, in other words, material things in this world, which it says is idolatry. This is the life of holiness that Jesus has called us to. In our marriages, this life of holiness is so important. We want to learn to be faithful, first of all, to Jesus, and then faithful to each other. A good way for those who are single and young is learning to be faithful to Jesus now and faithful to your future spouse, if that's what God has in your life, to prove your faithfulness now. And this brings such a security in marriage. If we can say, yes, I'm going to be pure, I'm going to wait and be holy. When we know that we've been faithful before marriage, it gives a greater confidence in marriage that we can trust each other, that we're not going to have to worry what's going on. We can trust and know that everything's okay. I know a young couple once where the boy constantly had to borrow the girl's phone and check her messages and check her Snapchat, all these different things to look if she had anything going on with another guy. Well, that relationship didn't last. There was no trust. Even though I'm fairly certain his suspicions were completely unwarranted, we need to learn to trust in each other and know that we're putting Christ first. And as Christ is our foundation, our commitment to him will help us be strong in all of our relationships, teaching us to walk together, committing to a life of holiness. It goes on then and says in verse 8, excuse me just a minute, these allergies are getting the best of me sometimes. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. It says from your lips here, but really the motivation behind all of these things is, what is our heart full of? It says in Luke chapter 6, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. So why did Paul specify these things to the Colossians? Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. These are things that we struggle with in our hearts, and too often comes out through our lips. When we hear these things going on, we know there's work that needs to be done in our hearts. Some time ago, I spoke some critical words to someone. I wasn't upset, but I let some person know what I thought about them. Afterwards, I really regretted. Why did I do that? Why did I say those words that were hurtful to this other person? I realized it's because I'd allowed critical thoughts to keep going in my mind and in my heart instead of dealing with them and choosing the way of love, choosing to speak blessing, choosing to say, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to be critical. I want to think good thoughts about this person. If I had done that, I don't think those words would have come out. I could have responded in a much, much better way. I learned the truth of the passage, for out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Paul wrote these words there because he knew the power of words. It says in James 3, likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. Whoa. Those are powerful words. Our words have the power to bless others, to help someone who's struggling with anxiety or fear or wonder, to help encourage someone who is feeling down. We can build each other up and help each other learn more about who we really are by speaking those words to one another. We can make others feel loved and cherished. Our words can also destroy and build resentment. Words in marriage have great power. Words can drive a wedge between us and cause hurt and damage that's hard to repair. This can cause resentment and a growing chasm of separation between us when we don't come back and ask for forgiveness. There's going to be times we're going to use words. It happens. There's friction in our marriages. But can we learn to make it right to go to each other and work out our conflicts. There's one word here I'd like to emphasize as well, and that's the word slander. Another reason that Paul wrote these words to the church is that slander is the main weapon that the enemy uses to divide and to destroy churches. Gossip and slander. What is slander? Slander would be anything that is spoken that casts a negative light on someone else. It might even be something that's true, but if it's casting a negative light on someone else, that's actually slander. And it's something that we need to guard. Because we all probably who've been in churches know about situations where gossip and slander has come in that has divided and even destroyed churches. Let's be on our guard. Let's not let that happen here. We're on the verge, or we're in the middle of something wonderful that God is doing among us. We know we're going to have spiritual attacks. We know that's going to come. And the main attack will be the temptation for slander and gossip. Another quote from Pastor Simbala of the Brooklyn from the Brooklyn Tabernacle. He said this: "I charge you as a pastor of this church that if you ever hear another member speak an unkind word of criticism or slander against anyone, myself, another pastor, an usher, a choir member, or anyone else, you have the authority to stop that person in mid-sentence and say, 'Excuse me, who hurt you? Who ignored you? Who slighted you? Was it Pastor Simbala? Let's go to his office right now. He will get on his knees and apologize to you, and then we'll pray together so God can restore peace to this body. But we don't want you to talk. It's not right to talk critically about people who are not here and not present to defend themselves.' So I ask today, can we make this commitment that we will guard our hearts, pray through when we have things that are stirring, that frustrate us, or if we've been hurt, and that we will not speak negative words to anyone else in the congregation, not about brothers and sisters of Christ, not about leaders, but instead we will go directly to the person and talk with them about it. Bring it up directly to them. Go to the person involved. This goes against our nature here. We'd rather not do it, but it's something that's important. And if we love each other, we will do this. We can ask ourselves the question, if there's been hurt in this relationship, whether it's someone in this church, or let's also now look at it in the place of marriage, if I don't bring that up, am I going to distance myself? Is it going to create a wedge between us and make us go further and further apart? Instead of bringing up the things that have caused us hurt, we keep avoiding it and avoiding it and avoiding it, and eventually we're avoiding each other. Let's commit to restoring our relationships here and in our marriages. This past week, someone came to me and let me know that some words I'd spoken had been hurtful. What followed was a wonderful, beautiful conversation, and I'm just so grateful that this person came to me, because I feel like now our relationship is going to grow. And I felt like there was beauty in that moment. But it wouldn't have happened if I had not been given the opportunity to say, "I'm really sorry. Will you please forgive me?" Let's be brave in learning to work through conflict. Verse 9 says, "Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." Do not lie. Now that seems like a pretty obvious and direct command there. But if we're not being honest about what's really going on, those times when we remain silent, when actually there is something I need to share, we could say in a way that's lying. We need to be honest with one another. Bring it up to each other. Work it through. Learning to do that in love, with gentleness, having courage. Proverbs 27:6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." I am so grateful that in my life I've had friends who've been loved me enough to confront me about things in my life. I'm grateful for my wife, Lori, that I've and being transformed through the process of walking with her, being in relationship with her, and I can tell you, I am a better man because of my wife. When she travels, we both travel, have traveled a lot, but now she's traveling and I'm here, which I'm enjoying, which is wonderful. Enjoyed seeing all of spring take place for the first time in several years. But when Lori is away, I become more intensely aware I am a better man when she is with me. She makes me better. This is the type of relationship we're looking for in marriage, and it's the type of relationships we need with our friends, to find friends who make us better, to enter into close relationships with others in a way that we can freely speak into each other's lives, where we give each other permission to say, listen, if you see something in my life, would you let me know? I want to grow. I want to be transformed. I want to grow to be more and more like Christ, and I need you in my life. In a few weeks, we're going to unveil or just present something that's called the 3-1-1 Challenge. It's an opportunity to grow in discipleship in groups of three or four. So just keep that in mind. That's going to be a good place where we can learn about iron sharpening iron, about faithful wounds that are necessary, but mainly just walking together in God's word, praying for each other, and growing in relationship. Going on then, verse 11 says, here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and in all. Now that could be a whole nother sermon about reconciliation, but let's just remember, we're one body in Christ. He calls us to unity and calls us to grow together. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. What a beautiful passage that is. May we interact with each other with compassion. Sometimes we see a person who is angry or is acting in a way that we're like, oh, I'd kind of like to get away from this person. Can we see what's going on in their life and respond with compassion? Embrace each other in our faults and our weaknesses. Love each other and see the power of God working through compassionate love for one another. That's what we're called to in the body of Christ. It talks about humility. This means considering other people to be more important than yourself, considering other people to be higher or better than we are. We learn to look to each other, serving one another in humility. Uses the word gentleness. Jesus is a gentle shepherd, and he wants that quality to come through in each other, in our interactions, to learn to be gentle. Now, some of us need more help in this area than others, and that's where this friction comes in, helping, saying, hey, brother, you know what? That wasn't very gentle. That was a little too direct in the situation. Could you soften that? This is the type of interaction that we need. Or going to someone and saying, listen, those words that were spoken, that actually hurt me. Owning our feelings, learning to share that with each other. This is how we grow. We learn to forgive. You know the beauty about the model of Jesus on the cross. When he was being crucified, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus didn't forgive them afterwards. He forgave them when he was being tortured and killed. He forgave his enemies while they were doing these horrible things to him. This is something that Jesus wants to work into our life, that we're so quick to forgive, that if even when someone comes and says something hurtful, let's say it's not even a truthful thing, but someone's mad and they come and they say something harsh and hurtful, we can respond with love. We can say, even as we're speaking to ourselves, I forgive you. It's okay. And I see the hurt in this person's life. And that's what I'm going to respond to. the beauty of forgiveness and learning to walk in forgiveness with each other, with our friends, with our spouses. Verse 15 then says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Again, this is a passage that we'll probably preach a whole sermon on sometime, especially in the area of worship. But this passage speaks of interaction in the body of Christ. Teach and admonish each other with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs in the Spirit. This describes a situation where people were not just sitting together in a church service. You know, the easiest way to avoid conflict, just come in and sit and then leave real quick. You don't have to talk to anybody. You can just have your moment. But that's not really what we're, that's not what we're called to. We're called to be a body of Christ that is interacting with one another, that none of us is complete on our own, and each one of us is needed. Our gifts are needed in the body of Christ. This means we need to find a way to get involved through our small groups, through next step classes, through serving together, through serving with our children's ministries, whatever it is, we interact. And I'm thankful that this is a church where the involvement is very strong. But let's keep in there. And then let's draw in others as they come into the church, interlinking, maybe arms with them and figuratively, and helping them get plugged in and involved with each other. This type of interaction is going to bring some friction, and the working, as we've said, the working out of this friction brings growth as we learn and work together, forgiving and admonishing one another. In the same way, we're called to get out from underneath the beds in our marriages. Stand up. And sometimes it means, yes, fight. And I mean that in a good way. There was a time in our marriage where Lori and I realized we weren't fighting very much, hardly at all. And it was bringing some unhealthy dynamics into our marriage. And I'm not talking about violent or even using words. We very seldom had disagreements. And you know what? Things were kind of dull. We had to learn to say, we're going to take down our barriers and our guards, and we're going to speak truthfully to one another. It meant saying to each other, have I frustrated you this week? Have I done something that's difficult for you? I want to hear it. Come on, out with it. For a while, we need to set up specific times, like once a week, where we sat down and said, okay, we're going to come out with everything that we've done that's bothered each other. For me, I'm used to it. I come from a family that's fairly demonstrative. If you haven't noticed, I'm a rather direct person. For Lori, that was hard. I had to say to her, Lori, I want the real you. Come on. I like the spunk, actually. And it helped our marriage grow, learning to bring our differences out into the open, learning to admonish each other, letting our spouse know, I want this from you. I want you to admonish me. Yes, sometimes it's going to hurt. But let's admonish one another. Let's bring it up when we see things in each other's lives. Let's make sure it's preceded by a lot of encouragement and a lot of love. But these moments, they bring us much closer together. We can learn to embrace conflict as a gift for transformation and to grow closer together. If we avoid it, we will go further apart. And sometimes then this becomes a chasm which seems insurmountable. We're going to hear now from Herb and Sharon talking about how they have worked through some conflict in their own marriage with this video.
Well, marriage to me is, in the beginning, it's like taking two pieces of sandpaper. I'm a painter, so you take two pieces of sandpaper and rub them together like this. That causes friction, which is conflict. Now, over time... that's smooth. And Sharon and I, after all our years, it's fairly smooth. And I think what happens early on, couples, they give up too quick. I mean, hang in there. I mean, sure, there's going to be friction to start, but over time, marriage gets better. So hang in there, and eventually you'll get the smooth sandpaper like Sharon and I have. Well, marriage to...
Okay, I think that was the next one. Okay. So we ask ourselves, is this a time for sandpaper, where we need to do some rubbing together? Or is it a time to overlook? Last week, those of you here, we talked about overlooking, about giving grace to one another. But we need to ask ourselves the question, if I don't bring this up, will it make me start drifting away? Will it cause separation between us? And if that's there, we need to make that commitment, I'm going to bring it up. We're going to talk to each other. We need to learn healthy communication. Talk about how we feel without blaming each other. In other words, don't say, you did this to me, and it going on like that. Don't point the finger, but instead starting with an I phrase, I felt hurt when. So these are basics we can read about in marriage books. Most of us have heard these things. But let's remember, let's own our feelings. Make sure we're not accusing each other, but bringing up how an action or words that were spoken or something the other person did, how it made us feel. Now, how do we respond then? We need to learn to listen and not defend ourselves. And that's the hard part. When my wife says something to me, I want to defend myself. It's like, no. I was right. That wasn't wrong what I did. Or, well, hey, do you want to hear what bothers me about you? Let's get started, and then it can magnify and come into a serious conversation where there's even more hurt and more separation that's built. Instead, when one person brings a complaint, just say to yourself, can I listen? I can speak the words myself. I forgive if it feels hurtful. And then what's the right response? You can say it. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? I'm sorry that what I did hurt you. I'm sorry that whatever I didn't do or did do, I'm sorry that that took place. Will you forgive me? I want to do better, and will you help me? Let's watch another video about listening and making a safe place to share our concerns.
I think as time went on, I felt safe to say how I felt and had feedback from him by not saying anything, not adding any negative things to why do you feel that way? It shouldn't feel that way. I try to correct it or make things better. It's like, I just want you to listen to me. And I think him not replying and not responding in a negative way helped me feel very safe to say how I felt.
So what I've tried to do...
That video goes on. It should anyway, I hope. Does it not? Herb, can you finish what you said there? What Herb was talking about, go ahead. Yeah. To create a safe environment and give each other permission that this is a safe place, and no matter what you say to me, I'm going to love you. Also, not responding, not just remaining silent, listening. It's a hard thing for a lot of us men to learn. And at the end, Herb said to Sharon, I'm sorry it didn't work out in that video, it said, Sharon's not perfect, but she's perfect for me. Another word that Herb shared earlier on was that it's not about finding the right person, it's about becoming the right person. And that was a beautiful time I spent with Herb and Sharon, hearing about their marriage, and thank you guys very much for that. So today we're talking about this commitment of growing together like vines. Here there's just two vines that are growing together. At any time, those vines can go in separate directions, start winding up separate poles, getting involved in other things, coming in further and further apart, or we can daily make the choice to grow together. It says, Lord, Jesus, come and be that third strand among us, that third vine that's helping us and strengthening us, winding us together as we choose to say, I'm willing to work through conflict. And I want to say this again and again, and we're also willing to get help when we need it. To go to a pastor, to go to an older couple in the church, go to a therapist, work on problems while they're small problems instead of waiting for them to get big. I want to say this, it can happen at any stage of marriage, especially while you're building those foundations of marriage for young couples. Get help soon rather than waiting. It'll make a big difference. It's worth the investment. Let's grow towards one another, and let's experience this transformation that God has for our lives. So last week we had a challenge, and that was to ask each other some questions. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who actually did it, but to go deeper in our communication with each other. This week's challenge is a bit harder. Can you come together and ask the following? Are there ways that I've hurt you? Are there things that I'm doing that are frustrating for you? Is there something difficult in our relationship? Or are you just even asking the question, doing a checkup? How are we doing? How are we doing in our relationship? Listen, commit, and grow. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray you would help us, Lord, to get out from underneath our beds and enter into meaningful relationship with one another. Lord, to be willing to confront, to be willing, Lord, to admonish and teach one another. Lord, place a guard on our tongues and our hearts. Lord, help us to be pure before you. Lord, we submit our lives to you and we ask for your help. Lord, we want to walk in holiness. And Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our relationships, our friendships, Lord, our relationship with children. Lord, in this church, Lord, strengthen us as a body that we can grow more and more together and be better and better prepared, Lord, to be your light in this world, to be a body that's unified and demonstrating your great love. Lord, let this be a place where people are built up and not torn down. And Lord, we lift up our relationships, our marriages to you, and we ask, Lord, for help. We pray, Lord, help us to learn to be honest with one another. We thank you, Lord, that you are a healer, that you bring healing and life into our relationships, and we're asking for that now. We thank you, Lord, for your good. We thank you, Lord, for blessing us with a wonderful church family, for putting us in the families, Lord, blessing us with parents, blessing us with children, with marriage partners, Lord. We are thankful. But, Lord, let us live in holiness before you. Strengthen us, Lord, to walk faithfully with one another, giving all glory to you. Lord, we now also just thank you that you have raised us up, that our past, Lord, is hidden in you. Our lives, Lord, are hidden in you. Strengthen us, Lord, this week. Go with us. Heal us. Let us live every day to your glory. Today, Lord, we choose the Jesus way. Be with us, we pray. Amen.